Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter Resurrection Sunday. We are excited that you are here. I'm so grateful that week in, week out, we can not just one time a year, but every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But this Sunday, I am excited to be able to declare the message. And here's the simple message: He is alive. He is alive and He is risen, church. My name is Michael Tropea. I serve here as the University Boulevard campus pastor. And it's just such an honor for just to be gathered together celebrating this truth that Jesus, our Savior, is risen. And we as a church family were praying here yesterday, and we have been praying for not only just a great service, but for a move of God on our hearts as a people to see Him bring dead things to life just like He is now alive. And we are grateful that you are here. You see, holiday moments are especially exciting for me, especially ones in the Christian calendar like Christmas and Easter time. Because growing up, I grew up in Northeast America, aka New York, upstate New York, not city New York, upstate New York. And I grew up with my mom, who was a little bit extra, a little bit over the top when it came to these holiday times of the year. And so when Christmas time came around, we had the Griswold family Christmas, what it felt like, if you're familiar with National Lampoon's, the big tree, the huge awkward bulbs, and we celebrated Christmas time big. And even in the in-between times, the imagination of things that my mom would welcome us into and the stories that she would tell, she just made it seem so alive. But you see, when it came to Easter, Easter was different for me as a child. I probably just believed all of the tradition of Easter so deeply because usually I'm a logical person, like A plus B equals C. That's how my brain usually works. But something about the illogical nature of the tradition that we have made Easter about, and the contrarian in me came out and was like, yes, this is true. This is true that bunnies can produce eggs somehow. And the fact that we don't see little bunnies, but there's this huge bunny that appears every year. And how does my basket get a name on it and hidden away just the illogical nature of it made me believe in it more. Probably that main message of it for a longer period of time than others. But I would so live in expectation of this day. And I'm not exaggerating this at all. I would put on my Sunday best, go to the Catholic Church. The reason why I feel interesting wearing this is because I feel like I just won the Masters. Or my mom would put on me this dark blue coat that looks like I'm captaining a ship, and that would be my every single Easter experience. But I was really looking forward to coming home, to find all the candy, to be a part of the egg hunt. And when kids were crying to see the Easter Bunny, I was doing a full Superman into the Easter Bunny to take a picture, and then going to my neighbors and sharing the excitement and the message and tradition that way of the day. And I'm not exaggerating this at all because I believed in the wonder of this time, the life of this time, the expectation that this Easter would bring. And I believed it so innocently, deeply, and passionately. And the reason why I share that experience is because as I grew older, I came to truly know the message of Easter. The overarching message about the resurrection and what it represented, my questions became different. And they became really twofold. One of them was, do I truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Do I actually believe in the event and what it declares? And then if I truly believe in it, then how does believing in it change my everyday experience in the here and now? My questions became different. And so I want to put those two questions for us on display as we hear the message of the resurrection. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you could turn to Luke 24, verses 1 through 9. If you don't, they will be on the screen for you. But I want to read this together. And And it says this, I know some of you are still turning, but I'll read. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." Church, when we read that, we have to do an accounting of our own souls. And we can pull out this first insight that I want us to sit in. And it's a simple, simple truth. But if we need to sit in this, which is this, the resurrection of Jesus is the central claim of faith that we are invited to believe. The resurrection of Jesus is the central tenet claim of faith that we as a people are invited to believe. And you see, the setup of this scene is very important. Just a week ago, Jesus is entering Jerusalem, and these crowds are celebrating that the Messiah is here. And they're saying, "Hosanna," laying down their cloaks and worshiping in joy because they think their king is coming to free them in their current context their way. But fast forward to Friday, the king is now hung on a cross, brutally beaten, scorned, and ultimately is killed. And what happens? His body is taken down, placed by Joseph of Arimathea into a cave, and their worlds are shattered. Saturday comes. Silence. Really some questions about, hey, we just walked with this Jesus, this king, this Messiah, but now his body is dead. It's placed in this tomb. Is he truly king? Is he truly who he said he was? Doubt may start to rise up. You see the women preparing these spices as if the body is still there. So, and there's Sabbath and silence in this day. And I want for us to live in that, because where would we be if we were in that situation? What would be happening in our hearts on Saturday? Silence, long questioning silence. But in this account, the women at this moment go to the tomb at dawn. And what do they find? They believed they would be finding a body because that's why they took the spices and the aromatics to cover the smell and honor Jesus' body. But what do they find? The stone rolled away. The empty tomb. Angels declaring, "He is not here. He is risen." And you see, at this moment, the women are extended an invitation to believe that he is truly risen. And these women could have doubted. And their hearts were probably questioning in this moment. But they were extended an invitation, and they could have walked away, but they didn't. They believed based on the actions of them going to tell the disciples. And that's the same exact invitation we are invited to believe today. Do we actually believe the resurrection happened? Because it's the central pillar of our faith. Yes, we believe the cross and the crucifixion paid for the penalty of sin, but without Sunday, without today, it's not fully a whole story. And do we actually believe it? You know, we oftentimes within church circles and the church at large have shared Romans 10:9, It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe he is truly Lord and paid for your sins, but it has this and statement. It says, and believe in your hearts, believe with your lives, believe with your soul that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved. It's an invitation to believe the resurrection is true. And then we will be saved. So believing in the resurrection of Jesus is the central claim we are invited to believe. But believe what about it? Believe what about it? Well, two things, that the event actually happened, because we don't live 2,000 plus years ago. We live in today's time and space. But we need to believe that the event actually happened. And if that event is true, then we also must understand its declaration of what it truly declares. Did the event itself actually happen? Did God actually raise Christ from the dead? I can say it. I can speak it. But in my heart, in my life, do I truly believe it? I'm sure some of you have heard the story of Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel, in the late 1970s, was a lawyer, an ardent, staunch atheist, seeking to disprove the actual event of the resurrection of Jesus. There's a book he wrote, The Case for Christ, movie on it, and he was out to disprove the actual event because he thought if he can, by research and inquiry, disprove the event of the resurrection, he would take down Christianity because it hinges on that. And so over really 600 days of research, looking at the biblical accounts, but looking at extra-biblical texts, speaking to the event actually happening, looking at who he appeared to after his rising. He appeared to one, he appeared to two, but he appeared to 500 at one time. Through understanding the extra-biblical accounts of these people that had no belief in Jesus, but he appeared to them, but also the changed lives of people that were against Jesus during his life here, such as Saul, aka Paul, or even Jesus' own brother James, who didn't believe he was truly the Messiah while he was alive. But how did they become so ardent and deep followers and leaders in the church if Jesus isn't truly alive? The disciples transformed lives as well. These were all research and evidences in his mind that he had studied, and he so passionately wanted to disprove the event of the resurrection. But after all of this research, after all of this trying to understand and prove it wrong, on November 8th, 1981, Lee Strobel submitted his life to Jesus. Why? Because he said, the evidence is so overwhelming, and I believe in faith that this Jesus truly was who he says he was. He put his life on a cross for me. He believed he was the forgiver of sins, and he believed in the resurrection of Jesus. This one out to prove submitted his life to Jesus. Why does this story matter for us today? Because we are 2,000 plus years removed from this event, and we are a people and a culture that say we have to see it to believe it. And he pursued so much evidence to do this, but there is an actual leap of faith to believe it because we don't live there. But take someone's experience, take the lives of transformed people around you, and I'm going to put before you, do you actually believe the event of the resurrection of Jesus happened? By God's grace, I do in faith. My question for you today is, do you truly believe it? Because you are invited to today, and you can believe it or you cannot, but you can't be indifferent to it. My question is for you today, do you believe in the event of the actual resurrection of Jesus? Not only believe in the event itself, but if the event actually happened, believe what it declares. And it's a simple truth that Jesus is truly alive. That is what the event of the resurrection declares, that he is truly alive. Verses 6 and 7 of our Luke text say, you see, the angels just stated to this woman, he is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And it says, they remembered his word. Church, the event of the resurrection declares that Jesus is risen, that Jesus is alive and well, that he is the firstborn of all the new creation in full radiance and honor and glory. And he is not indifferent to us. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me today so that we are not forgotten. We are actually have someone going between us, taking our prayers to the Father, and he is alive and he's with us. And that is great news today. The central claim of Christianity that stands out, that we are invited to believe, is that he is alive. No other religion, no other person or a good prophet, they have all died. But this man, fully God, fully man, is risen. He is risen indeed. And that's the thing that stands out central to Christianity that no other religion can attest to. And these disciples' lives, if you know the gospel narrative, they changed. And we are living in light of 2,000 plus years of their testimony that Jesus is alive. Church, this is not a fairy tale. This is not a made-up tradition passed on from person to person, generation to generation. This is the truth, that this actual event of the resurrection happened, and his resurrection declares that there is a Savior that came in our place, who has overcome death, and he lives again, and he invites us to believe that today. My life, many of our lives have been transformed because of the Jesus who lives today. And my question is very simple, and I've said it multiple times. My question is for you is, do you truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Do you truly believe today? And if you do believe, what does it cause our lives to be right now? And this is the second insight I want to pull from this Luke 24. It's this: believing in the resurrection affords us the opportunity to experience true life. Believing in the resurrection affords us the opportunity to experience true life. See, I've begun to read the Chronicles of Narnia book series with my daughter before bed every night. We read about 5 to 10 minutes every night. I've read through it once myself. Some of you have read through it as kids and know the story. But the story of it in the Chronicles of Narnia, in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the story hit me and it speaks into my message today. So if you know anything about the story, Aslan is an allegory for Jesus. The White Witch is an allegory for Satan. And there comes a point in the story where Edmund, one of the sons of Adam, who has become a traitor for what he has done in treason, deserves death. And Aslan goes to the White Witch and says, hey, I will take the place of Edmund. I will take the place for the sons of Adam that they were supposed to take. And the White Witch is all excited about this. And so all of a sudden, she, just like Jesus, she gets excited when Aslan is dead. But if we know the story, the table breaks. And what the kids don't find, they find the table empty. But then they see Aslan and more radiant than he was before. And then he speaks this quote to the kids because they're in wonder about what has just happened. He shares this quote, "The witch would have known that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would start working backwards." Death itself would start working backwards. You see, what Aslan is stating is that death does not have the final say anymore. Their treachery as traitors is not the defining work anymore. In our case, sin and its curse because of belief in Jesus does not have the final say anymore of our lives. We can experience true life today, now, because death and the power of sin, the world, our flesh does not have the final say anymore for our lives. Death itself begins to work backwards when we believe the resurrection because it affords us an opportunity to experience true life. Romans 6, verses 5 through 8 in the NLT, it'll be up on the screen. It says this, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. Church, today, the curse of sin and the power of sin no longer enslaves us anymore for those who are in Christ. The presence of sin still exists, but the power of it doesn't have the final say. We don't have to look for life, healing, hope, freedom, desires apart from him today because in him, they are all there. And that's our joy. And the life we so deeply yearn for at a soul healing level can be experienced today. But what gets in our way? That sounds good, but what gets in our way? In Luke 24, verse 5, the question from the angels to the women who came to the empty tomb, it rattled in my mind these past several weeks as preparing for this message. It said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? You see, the women were looking for what they thought was to be a dead body of Jesus. They were believing an outcome in their minds that was a lie, that was an illusion, that the body was going to be there. And it's thinking on that question, how many times just this week did I go looking for life in things that were truly dead? How many times just this week did I look to heal myself, to get justice myself my way, to worry about things that I wasn't in charge to worry about, to fix things in my own power, only to see them broken again, to look for satisfaction in things themselves instead of the risen Christ that it was alive, that is alive. And just this past week, I was sharing with a friend about a situation that I have come from in coming here, and a situation that really has brought a lot of anger to my heart that God is still trying to work death out in. And I wouldn't lie to say that I wanted to holy throat chop this person there's an aspect of brokenness that I'm still carrying, unforgiveness in my heart that I'm still working through. And I wanted to respond in an angry, deep way that was very much sinful and wouldn't bring life. But in staring at what this message was, the resurrection, I realized in that moment that my reaction, how I could respond to this, how my flesh wants to respond to this, would only bring brokenness and tragedy and further disappointment. But in staring at this, although it was real and it felt so real that I wanted to do it, I realized that that sin that I want to commit doesn't have power over me anymore. And by staring at the resurrection of Jesus, I understood in that moment that he was the one who is ultimately going to bring justice and healing to this situation, not me. And I didn't have to respond the way my flesh wanted me to respond. Maybe for you, it's not anger or justice. Maybe for you, it's worry. The lie about what's going to happen tomorrow. How are people in my lives going to be taken care of? How am I going to invest myself and enrich myself tomorrow? Or the worries of life, or how am I going to provide? Or all these things. Maybe that's the dominating narrative of your heart, that you're looking for life in apart from him. Let me tell you the truth today, that Christ being fully alive has all of your tomorrows accounted for. He has your family. He has your career. He has all of those things in his hands. You be faithful today, and he is with you. Maybe the lie that you aren't good enough every day speaks to your soul, that you need to perform, put on the appearance that your marriage is at the healthiest state possible, or you have to put your kids in so many different things just to build yourself up. Maybe you believe that lie. You need to know today and hear that your worth is in how well you perform. It's in his perfect performance. And as long as you are tethered to him, you can rest. You can actually have rest for your souls because you are loved for who you are today by a father who sees his son when he sees you. That's the good news, that your penalty has been paid for of sin and he sees you today. Maybe the lie is I'm unforgivable. The shame of sin, I just did this for the 3,000th time. How could there be a God who loves me for this? And you are not knowing Jesus and you believe this is hindering you. Let me tell you, he has paid for all sin, past, present, and future sin on the cross. And he lives again. He wants to give you that hope if you submit to him as Lord and believe he's risen from the dead. That is the truth, church. God's grace is far greater than the worst sin you could commit. And he's calling you to know him. Church, as we believe in this hero, Jesus, that he is alive and believe in the resurrection, we can repent from our sin to the one who paid it all and has overcome its power. As we walk out life, and even when we fall, and by God's grace get back up, as we spend time knowing him through his word and a community of believers like we are as a church family, like Max mentioned, you're not invited to a place, you're invited into a people. And as we walk in wise counsel from the dark parts of our souls, we will become more and more like and live in light of the life of God has afforded us as new creations. Dark death works backwards because the light and life of Christ is working through us by his Spirit. And here's what we are marked by today. Here's what, as we live out this story today, we become a people marked by hope in times that are ultimately hopeless because we have an anchor that is alive. We have true freedom available to us over our addiction because Christ is alive. We will be able to forgive the unforgivable because the ultimate forgiveness has been extended to us in Christ. We will have true joy because Christ becomes our all in all. And let me be clear, believing in the resurrection won't come without moments or seasons of doubt or question. But it's a movement ahead through remembering what Jesus has said, what he has done, and what he is still doing because he is truly risen. We can experience true life more and more as we walk out our relationship with the risen Savior and King Jesus. Now that is truly good news. That is our everyday. Not just Easter Sunday. That is our everyday. Every day is a resurrection. And he will resurrect our bodies one day in full, and we will be with him in perfection. We're in the already, but not yet, in the in-between. And if we hold to our King, he will carry us through. So as I close our time today, do we believe this good news today? The King, our hope, our Savior Jesus is alive today, and the resurrection truly happened. You are invited to if you haven't, and we'd love to be a part of your journey if you don't know him. And that is the truth about Easter, that he is alive. Church, let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you came. God, you sent that which was most precious to you, your Son, to come, to live among us, to grieve as we grieve, to walk as we walk, to live on earth, fully God, fully man. And God, you just came in our place. You took on our sin, the penalty that it deserved. And you didn't leave it, your son abandoned, but you raised him from the dead. And we get to live in light of that good truth that you are alive, that you are interceding for us, Jesus, between us and the Father. And you love us and you care for us and you are our hope, are our true freedom, God. And apart from you, we can do absolutely nothing. And I pray for us as a church family today that we live every day, every Sunday, as if it is a resurrection Sunday, because you are beginning and working out the death in our hearts to make us alive. Death itself begins to move backwards as we submit to you as our true King, our true hope that is alive today. God, we need you. And I pray if there are some in here that don't know you personally, God, that you cause their hearts to repent from the sin that they so easily walk in and call you Lord and believe by faith that you are risen from the dead and they will be saved. And we want to walk with them as they walk out the death in their own hearts and start to see the light of in light of Jesus. We are so grateful today that you are resurrecting our spirit and our souls one moment at a time, and thank you for doing so when we didn't deserve it. You are a great and good Father, and we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, can we stand and sing in response to this good news?
That once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. Yes, we bow before the one who wore our sin. Now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see.
While we declare this together, your name is victory.
Your name is victory, and all praise will rise. Christ our King, your name is victory, and our praise will rise to Christ our King.
Yeah. Oh, let it rise, Jesus. Let our praise rise.
The fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. In his final breath upon the cross,
yeah,
is now alive in me.
We believe that. We sing your name.
Yeah, your name, your name. Is victory, and our praise will rise to Christ our King. In your name is victory, and our praise will rise to Christ our King.
Yeah. Oh, we praise your name, Jesus.
Ashes of defeat, the resurrected King is resurrecting me, and the resurrected King.
Yeah, let's believe it today. Sing it again, by your Spirit.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. Oh, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. In the body there would not remain.
Why?
'Cause our God has robbed the grave.
Sing it again, our God.
Our God has robbed the
That's the good news today, church, that moment by moment, situation by situation, that Jesus who is alive is resurrecting our hearts to new life. And not just for ourselves, not just for us to be a holy huddle, but for us to go out and share the good news that he is resurrected and he is alive, to not keep this good news here, but to go out and be and make disciples for the glory of God. Just like these women went out, and it says, and they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And we are living examples because of their faith that proceeded from the resurrected King. So church, as we leave from here, let us not keep the message of hope and being transformed to ourselves, but share and love all of those who God has given us, to welcome them in, to share about the good news of who Jesus truly is. That is our true purpose as a people, as a family. And so if you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one to go and know deeper who this Jesus is. So it's our gift to you out of the guest services. But church, our heart for you is to know one thing and one thing alone today, that Jesus is alive. Have a great Easter. God bless.